It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 2nd of April 2011. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by Island, the stockist of Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local gifts, art and clothing. You'll find them at Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday the 2nd of April, Sharon Brown talked to Dawn from Fossil Bay about their upcoming fair. She spoke to jazz pianist John McKay and political theatre organiser Carol Weitzel.
Well, great. Well, we've got Dawn in. Dawn's going to be talking about Fossil Bay Fair. So, yes, great. So the fair's on tomorrow?
It is. It starts at 10 a.m. and runs through till 2 p.m. And it's actually at the Fossil Bay Kindergarten and around the farm. It's 58 Karora Road.
Great. And so what time does it start?
It starts at 10.
Right. Sorry, I'm trying to get the levels right. It doesn't seem to be coming up very high. That's why I'm just like concentrating on something else. But, okay, good. So lovely. So tell us what's going to happen at the fair.
Well, when you first come into the gate, there will be many stalls. There'll be stalls including preserves and secondhand clothing and toys. There will be plants and seedlings and lots of food that people have harvested from their gardens at home and donated to the fair. There's also in that area going to be a number of workshops that is running throughout the day, starting with the Top Bar Beekeeping Workshop, which starts at 10:30 through to 11, and that's followed by the Give Your Children a Helping Hand with Bark Flower Remedies by Di Stoddart, from 11:15 to 11:45. And then we have Healthy Home for a Healthy Family with Don Stoddart. That's from 12 to 12:30. 12:45, Growing Mini Avocado Trees, to 1:15, and 1:30 through till 2, Wild Herbs for Food and Medicine.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. Is that something new?
We haven't had these workshops before, and one of our fantastic mothers, Christy's, organised that this year.
Lovely. So do you have to pay to come to the workshops?
By co-hire donation. So, yeah, just come along and Great. Have a listen. Yeah. And then once you've actually walked through that area, you'll come into the area where most of the food is. We'll have the Lemon Tree Cafe with lots of gorgeous food. We will have a...
I have to say, that's always a highlight, the food at the Steiner Fair is just always quite delicious.
The cake stall is amazing. Every family bakes a cake or muffins or something, and the cake stall is huge and lovely food.
And often has got lots of things that cater for sort of, you know, gluten intolerant or, you know, just they things do. That are, you know, people have difficulties with.
And all the cakes will be labelled, so you'll be able to know exactly what ingredients is in the cake.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. There will be a sausage sizzle of meat sausages and also vegetarian sausages.
Right.
Yeah, and then we have Awana making and selling her crepes.
Lovely.
Well. Yeah.
Is there going to be any ice cream this year?
There will be gelato. Uta will be there and she'll be selling her lovely ice creams.
Yeah. So is who's doing the sausages? Is that Uva or somebody else?
The sausages, we have two parents cooking the sausages.
Right.
Well, a number of parents actually between the two. Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. And so what are some of the other highlights? Is there music?
There is music, and the lovely Ian has put together some wonderful music for the fair, including JB and James Dillon, Wade Luan, Anu Race, Neil Goschel, and obviously Ian himself. And we may have a few young children up there entertaining as well.
Oh, lovely. That sounds great. So, and what are there? What kinds of events are there for the kids?
For the children, we have lots of wonderful games. The Black Knight and White Knight rides, which are always very popular. Humpty Dumpty, Henny Penny, the fishing game. And then there is the always very popular, the Story Quest.
What's the Story Quest?
The Story Quest is... a story or group of stories that involves Lady Easter, the huntsman and the villagers. And the children have little challenges, little quests to complete. And each one they complete, they receive a little prize.
Mm.
Yeah.
And are you still running that kids' cafe? Because I remember that was quite exciting for the kids. I think they've done it the last few years. It's a little cafe, and parents aren't allowed in, and the kids had to go in and sit down, and then and they'd get a plate of food which they ate with their friends or whatever. But there were no parents allowed.
Oh, that
I remember
sounds
that was
fantastic.
A bit, that was a bit of a hit, but
yeah,
I don't know
no,
if they're doing
well,
that.
No, we're not doing that this year. Right. But that's a great one to remember for next year. Mm. That sounds really good.
Lovely. So, Dawn, what have you been doing for all of this?
Well, I've been making a lot of preserves. lots of jams and chutneys and relishes. And I will be on the preserve stall from 10 till 12 tomorrow, being quite involved with the organisation as well, as I'm the new manager down at the kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So is that taking over from Prashanti?
Yes.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
And you're managing the fair?
Not really. Ehenia, who managed it last year, she's taken the lead role this year, and she's absolutely amazing. And so I've been supporting her and with other parents. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about Stein at the moment then. It's expanded. I mean, since the time my kids were there,
yeah,
it seems to have expanded.
Yeah, we have three kindergarten rooms at the moment. We have one, the Piwaka Waka room, for the three-year-olds when they first come into the kindergarten. And that's quite a small room, so it's quite nice for those young children. And then when they're about three and a half, when they're ready, they move up into one of the larger, the kindy rooms, Tui or Kereru. And then we also have a play circle group, which is for children who are between two and three, and they come with their parents. And that's on a Monday morning, and that's very popular. It's a great introduction for the child and the parent into the Steiner community, and it offers a really lovely transition then for the child when they move through into the kindergarten. So actually tomorrow we are also happening an open day, and so the kindergarten is open for families to come in and have a look around, to meet the teachers, and there'll be craft activities run by the teachers for the children in the kindergarten rooms, and those activities will be focused around the Easter theme at the moment. So there'll be egg painting and window displays and making beautiful crowns. And yeah.
Lovely. So there'll just be ongoing activities in those rooms that you can drop in on.
There will be. For the children's games and the craft activities, you buy a book of tickets, which is $10 for five tickets, and all the games are one ticket, so $2 per game, except for the craft activities, that's two tickets, but that's for all the activities, and you can do as much as you like, and also the story quest is two tickets.
Yeah. Oh, okay, lovely, good. And so one of the questions people often ask is, do you have to pay to go to Steiner Kindergarten or
you do.
The Play Circle, or how does that
you
work?
You do. You do pay for Play Circle. It's just $5 a session, and you pay for the term. We have quite a waiting list for Play Circle, so it's quite popular, lovely little group.
Mm. So which places are you trying to fill now then?
Where we have availability is for 3.5-year-olds through to 6-year-olds, so that's in the two kindergarten rooms. Yeah, so we do have some space, so if you are interested, it's another great reason to come down, meet the teachers, and let them know, and we can take some details and get back to you.
Yeah. So what does Steiner Kindergarten offer that other kindergartens don't offer, or what's the, is there any particular reason people might be drawn to
Steiner? Yeah, I think the most common response from parents when they first come to the kindergarten is the actual environment. People are very impressed with the natural environment. With the Steiner philosophy, we're very aware of the children's senses, so visually and also touch. So you'll notice that all the toys are wooden. They're all handmade. They're all made from wool or cloth. So it's a very natural, soft environment. All the colours are very pastel. You won't see any bright colours or plastic. It's quite different to some of the other centres. Yeah, we are very aware of nutrition as well. So all the food that we buy, or most of the food we buy, is organic food, and the children have a hot meal every day. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What kind of hot meal?
It changes each day. So at the moment, the children are baking bread, and they're having that with hot vegetables or salad, and then there might be a rice another day with this with vegetables, or a soup day, and then there's pasta as well. So nice filling, nutritious
meal. Sounds
very
healthy.
Yeah.
And are they good at eating their vegetables?
From what I hear, they are. Yeah, they're hungry. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. They have a lot of lovely playtime outside and inside, and they're aware of the rhythm, and when it's time to eat, if they're hungry, they enjoy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge, isn't it, that whole, like, getting kids to eat vegetables, I think. But I find now with a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old, it's starting to pay off, that thing of always getting them to try something, even if they're not keen on it.
Well, my children have really surprised me. They absolutely love broccoli.
Oh, do they? Yeah.
Every time. They want the broccoli, and it just thrills me to see them eating broccoli. Mm. It's lovely.
What about the courgettes? My son has declared himself a vegetarian to courgettes, which I think means that he doesn't want to eat them.
I hide the courgettes.
Right, okay, yes.
Or cut them into very small pieces.
Oh, look, that's actually a carrot. No, I know it looks like a courgette, but it is actually a carrot. Yes, it is quite a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Well, that sounds fab. So so the times again?
So the fair starts at 10. So very important, tomorrow daylight savings starts.
Oh, okay.
So remember to put your clocks back an hour. So the fair starts at 10 and runs through till 2 o'clock. Yeah, and it is going to be a beautiful, hot, sunny day. But if for some reason that should change, our rain venue is Te Hurahi Primary School Hall.
Okay, lovely. Yeah. So, but it's not going to rain.
No, it's not.
And it's going to be a lovely day there. Lots to do for the kids, lots of yummy food to eat.
Yeah.
And also just a walk around the farm, because, you know, Fossil Bay Farm, it's not somewhere we always get to. But
that's right.
You know, there are ducks. If you've got some little bits of scraps and bits and pieces, you can feed the ducks and the geese. And
yeah, it's a beautiful place. The kindergarten's been there for 15 years now. And the fair is a big part of the Waiheke community calendar. And it's a real old-fashioned fair, and it attracts a lot of people. And it's just such a beautiful day.
Well, Dawn, good luck with that, and thanks very much. Oh, actually, what kind of preserves have you made? What are your favourite ones?
Plum jam is always one of my favourites, but of the chutneys that I've made this year, the spicy eggplant chutney.
Oh, have you made spicy eggplant chutney?
Yeah, you probably quite like that
one. Oh, I certainly would. I have to say, Maureen down at the market, she doesn't make a lot of spicy eggplant chutney.
Right.
But there are a few of us who know where to find her and, you know, order it from her. So that sounds like a lovely thing.
Yeah, there'll be some tasters as well, so you can try before you buy.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, lovely. Have a great day tomorrow. I hope you make lots of money for the kindergarten and all the Steiner programs that are running. And, have a lovely day.
Thank you, Sharon.
Well, we've got a surprise visitor come in, John McKay, and he's a renowned jazz pianist from Canada who's recently moved to Waiheke, and he's going to be playing at Whittaker's next week. Now, I have to say, I did hear him play I don't know if it was the last time he played, but about 6 months ago, and it was really, really incredible. So, yes, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here and surprised.
So, yes, well, poor John just walked in like 5 minutes ago and said, oh, I'd quite like to mention something on the radio. And here he is mentioning something on the radio. So tell us about this concert that you're going to be doing.
Well, as you mentioned, I played, it was actually a year ago. Amazing how time flies. Almost exactly a year ago. I had just moved here I'd been here about a month, and Lloyd Whittaker invited me to play a concert, and I was happy to do so, and played a passion of mine, which has been combining classical music with jazz music, because I was originally trained as a classical pianist. My mother was a fine classical pianist and taught me. And so to be able to combine some kind of classical music with jazz music is a wonderful endeavor for me. Challenging, but rewarding when it works. It's difficult. Not too many people do it, but So I played a Bach jazz concert at Whitaker's last year and was actually quite surprised at the response. People really did love it, and I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know if, you know, people on the island would like that kind of music. But
was it the first time you'd performed that particular set of pieces?
It was the first time I had performed some of them. I had played a few of them before, but I don't remember that. I don't think I'd ever played a full concert of just, you know, Bach jazz. I had sprinkled it into other concerts I've done. I've been playing forever, so it's, you know, I've played many, many, many concerts in my time, but this is the first time I did specifically, you know, Bach jazz.
So I don't really know how this works. Do you need to arrange all of that yourself, or you can take arrangements from someone else?
That was all my hard work, and that was another rewarding thing about it. Basically, I went through and had to figure out all the harmonies inherent in Bach's music, and Bach's music is very complex, unbelievable music, and still, you know, is the pinnacle in my view anyways of music in the Western world to this day, and we're talking, what, 350 years later. But just incredible music, very complex. So it was a labor of love to go through it, work out the harmonies, and such that I had something to improvise on. So I played the original pieces and then would improvise on the harmonies that I had figured out. So a lot of fun and a challenge. And the bass player, Kevin Haynes, who's the wonderful, illustrious bass player who teaches at the uni, he was saying, wow, I haven't done
it. Oh, look, the whole
this.
Event was just a really wow event. So tell us about this Saturday.
Well, as they say, once a philosopher, twice a pervert. So I couldn't do the same thing this year. So to say, well, what am I going to do this year? And so I've done the same thing with Chopin, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this year it's going to be Chopin with a twist. And basically the same thing. We don't have a lot of time here, so I'm not going to get into, you know, a whole lot about Chopin, but everybody knows Chopin's music, whether they know it or not.
Mm.
He's by far the most recognizable, you know, melodist, if you want, of any classical composer, any period of time. There's at least a dozen pieces out there that if somebody heard them on the radio, they may not know it's Chopin, but they would know that music and go, oh, I love that piece.
Mm.
You hear his music in films and everything all the time. So I've done the same thing with some Chopin's well-known piano pieces, broken them down, figured out the harmonies, and then we're going to play the originals and then go to town.
Right,
and
lovely.
With another wonderful bass player, Oliver Holland, who also teaches at the Auckland University. He'll be coming over for the concert. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, look, it sounds fabulous. So tell us the time and how much to get in.
It's next Saturday, which is, that would be what, the 9th?
Mm.
April 9th. And it's the usual time for Whitaker concerts. They're always 5 p.m. And they don't go beyond 6:30. So, you know, hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes, and the cost is $20.
Mm. And I'm sure it's going to be full, so, you know, make sure you've got a ticket or show up early to get one.
Yeah, you can call Lloyd Whitaker, and because we did this interview so spontaneously, I don't have his number on the tip of my tongue, but it's easy enough to call, find Lloyd Whitaker on Waiheke, or call the Waiheke, what is it, the Whitaker's Music Museum.
Look, Whitaker's has got a following, and anyone who's interested in that is bound to find it. I mean, I think the other appealing thing about that kind of thing is that, you know, classical music now, a lot of particularly younger people aren't particularly into classical music, but this really bridges the gap between, you know, different styles of music, and it's really, really inspiring.
Right.
I really enjoyed that last concert.
Well, they did that. Remember
did.
Back in, well, you wouldn't know, you're too young, but I remember back in the 80s, I'm presuming you're too young. You certainly look too young.
Oh, no. Not that young.
Okay,
yeah,
back
yeah.
Back in the
oh,
80s,
yes.
Or 70s, I guess. When was the disco really alive? 70s?
Yeah, the
actually,
70s.
Right? 70s, and they took classical music and put it to a disco beat and everything, but this is very different. This is much more sophisticated, but yeah, I think young people would like it. Last year we had, boy, some young kids seemed to really enjoy it, so by all means.
Yeah, no, excellent. Listen, thanks so much for coming in. Good
Thank
luck with
you.
The concert, and look for, well, I'm going to come.
I
that sounds fab.
Fantastic.
Great.
Thanks very much, everybody.
Enjoy.
You're listening to Island Life, Waiheke People, Events and Issues, brought to you by Island. Art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Ocean View Road, Onirua.
Carol Weitzel, who's on the Artworks Theatre Committee, is here to tell us about an event that she's organised for the beginning of May. And also, she's been busy organising this Murray Horton event for tomorrow. So, hi, Carol.
Hi.
So perhaps we could start with that. Tell us about this Murray Horton event.
Okay, this is not unconnected from the political theatre that will be happening May 1st weekend. And for those of you who have some background in Labour history, you will be well aware that May 1st is a major date in our calendars. Now, Murray Horton is also, this is a major date that we have happening tomorrow, that's right, Sunday. I put it all together quite quickly, so I have to check myself there. So it's tomorrow, Sunday, Surfdale Hall at 2 o'clock, and we have been lucky enough, fortunate enough, Waiheke is important enough that we have Murray coming over and including us in part of a national tour.
So tell us who Murray is, because, I mean, you know, a lot of people may not know.
Okay, now that's, have to go back in a way, right back to the 70s when Kafka, this is the organisation he's part of, which is, anyway, it's an organisation that's against overseas ownership of New Zealand, and it came into being in the 70s down in Christchurch, and the first person, the original person, was Owen Wilkes. But Murray Horton has been involved, I believe, from that time.
So it's the campaign against foreign control of Aotearoa.
Thank you. I needed
that. I just looked it up here.
I needed that little help. Right. So it's a... it's a group that has contributed enormously in terms of research. They put out a journal, and that's called... it's a watchdog piece that comes out monthly. And it is just a fund of absolutely reliable information in terms of the extent to which we have been absorbed, you might say, into the foreign corporate.
So, Carol, you obviously feel quite strongly about this, but so what's the big deal? I mean, you know, lots of people own things in different places. I mean, the whole of the south of Spain is owned by the English and the Germans and the Finnish. People buy things in New Zealand. New Zealanders buy things in Australia. What's the drama?
Well, the drama is that in this process, which would be as true for in Europe and third world countries in particular, is that we, in our different countries, lose real control over how we live, how the land is used, how the animals are treated. We're being hit with factory farming on a large scale here in New Zealand that also looks to destroy our iconic country down in Otago, central Otago. So
I'm told that there's a lot of Chinese buying of dairy farms. Is that right?
That is part of it. And we will be... we will be more at risk in this area because naturally, with the development of Asian economies, and particularly it has been how would you say, identified, and Kafka would be part of that, that we're in an age of empires, and so we might expect that the Asian empire, which is China, will naturally want to be acquiring what in our case are the resources of how we're able to grow food and animals.
I think one of the things that's really interesting, and I think it affects us on Waiheke, is this foreign ownership of assets that we or facilities we use all the time. And the one that strikes me the most at the moment is the Fuller's Ferries, because that is actually owned by Sauter Holdings, which is a Scottish company. So any money that's made by that company is taken overseas and is not used again within the country. And I think some of the stuff around the waste contracts also highlighted that idea of, if you have local companies managing things, then the wealth is recycled back into the community, whereas if you have foreign ownership, then any kind of profit is taken out of the country and isn't used within the society that you live.
Yes, you've in highlighting how we on Waiheke are affected by the fact that the transnational corporations, as the TNCs is the buzzword, do both take our land and the monies that are produced by our activities. And we don't have the decisions in terms of how this happens. And it is, if it's frustrating and infuriating that this happens to us on Waiheke, Waiheke can be aware that we are just part of a worldwide economic structures that will continue, and the need to be informed and active is why that we rely on Kafka to give us the good information and also the ability to act in concert. And which is why it's so important that they're coming here to Waiheke.
Right, lovely. So Murray Horton's coming tomorrow, and he's going to be talking at 12 or at 2?
2 o'clock.
Lovely. So 2 o'clock at Surfdale Hall, and he's talking about foreign ownership of New Zealand assets and and, you know, the dangers or the processes, and I suppose there'll be some opportunity for questions.
Yes, and in fact, that's what characterises the way that this organisation works, is that there's a really good engagement between the speaker and the audience.
Okay. Right, so tell us about your weekend of political theatre. Would that be a good way of describing it? That's happening on the 1st and 2nd of May?
Yes, it is, and that would be a good way of describing it. And I can say that focus that I've just commented on in terms of engagement with the audience is a prime focus of what we will be, what the event will be about on that weekend.
Oh, right. Okay. And it's the 1st and 2nd, or the 30th and the 1st?
It's the 30th and the 1st.
So it's the Saturday afternoon and the Sunday.
Yes.
Right.
At this point, we may shift it to an evening on the Saturday. That is, we're very much in the process of shaping both the both the way in which the performance happens, and because we are instead of we did a play for Gaza last year, that was the initiating political theatre on Waiheke. And this year we're taking a slightly different form. And so we're going to be having Waiheke performers and artists, poetry, music and small playlets, interspersed with speakers. And the initial focus has been on sovereignty issues, actually, both national sovereignty and Maori sovereignty. And that is what I have already indicated, that the speaker on Sunday, Murray Horton, and speakers at the political theatre will be part of what we're addressing.
Lovely. So there's one focus on sovereignty issues. Are there other particular areas of focus that are going to be covered?
Well, what we're going to be trying to do is link together how local initiatives, national issues, and international realities link and shape our lives.
Well, that sounds incredibly interesting. So, it's quite kind of democratic, artistic endeavour, isn't it? Because there'll be some, theatre, but then there'll also be some audience participation, and there'll be an opportunity to ask questions and speakers and all kinds of different things happening. And there'll also be a little bit of playback, won't there? So with us as well is Janet, who's going to be organising the playback side of things. Hi, Janet. Oh, Janet needs to get near a mic.
We're just about to shift chairs here, so hold on.
Okay. And Janet is organising the playback side of that. So, Janet, tell us a little bit about what playback involves.
Playback theatre is something that was devised a while ago in order to involve people at a community level in their own stories and sharing stories, basically. It was perhaps inspired by what happens in places, particularly like Nepal, where the founder, Jonathan Fox, spent some time and saw how communities could share stories together in a spontaneous way, and how that allowed people to hear each other, to strengthen ties between each other. So playback, and it came at the same time as fitted into the improvisational theatre movement. So it's an improvisational form, it's spontaneous, and it relies on people who come along feeling that they can tell things about themselves, tell their own experiences, see those played back in some form, and hear what other people have to say and learn about each other in that way.
Mm. So it's usually a form in which people will tell a story or tell something about their experience, and then the improvisational actors will reflect that back in some sort of performance.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, lovely. Okay, so you'll be involved with this weekend that Carol's been talking about?
Yes, we've been talking about how we can do that. Carol saw some playback on Waiheke and felt that that was something that could work with her kind of approach to involving people. And so what we're thinking about at the moment is being part of what's going on and providing a spontaneous reflection of what people might bring in the audience with their responses, which will give a theatrical dimension to it, which will just allow people to see their others' responses in a slightly different way from just listening to the words that we speak.
Okay, so as part of that initiative, I know you're quite interested in developing playback on the island anyway, and I believe you have a weekend coming up next weekend. What's that about?
That's the 9th and the 10th of April. Excuse me. And this is part of... So there are people doing playback, have been doing playback on the island for a while, and they were planning to do a series of workshops to offer that to the people of Waiheke. And so I've been asked if I can take on this particular weekend, which focuses on a particular aspect of playback theatre, which is the role of the facilitator, which we call conducting. But it's open to anybody, and particularly with the idea that playback is a tool which you can use in lots of different ways to promote dialogue in a very open way. We can talk about social dialogue, and that's what I'd like to see happening as well. So it's open to people who've done playback and want to do more, or to people who want to learn about playback, and it's at the Palm Beach Hall.
And I think for people who are interested in acting, I mean, it's a great opportunity, because playback is an improvisation. It's just a great way of being quite intuitive with your acting. So I came to Janet's session last week, and I'm going to try and make it to the weekend. And I have to say, it's just really rewarding to feel yourself moving from a kind of rational place into a more intuitive place with acting.
Well, that's great, Sharon, to hear that, and that's what I believe as well.
So will it cost anything to take part in this workshop?
It's up to the people who come. If they want to contribute something, they can. But if somebody wants to come and they don't have any spare cash, then they're welcome.
Lovely. Well, look, that's fabulous. So that's partly sponsored through Auckland City Council
Creative
Communities Grants, which has allowed Janet to offer that on a COHA basis. And it sounds like a lovely opportunity. So, Carol, did you have anything else you wanted to add about your weekend? Or that's good?
Yeah, I'll just finish up by saying that I've been talking about the fact that that this is worldwide, and the original title was Poetics of Resistance. We still might use that title. I'd like to comment that from Three Poets for Peace, we are using the spoken word to focus resistance and conscience. And these are three American poets, and they'll be performing at the Brecht Forum in New York City on April 9th and 10th. They're part of the movement Risings Against the Wars. As you're well aware, the warring is a very large part of what we suffer under the present takeovers in our lives. And so I'd like to comment that what we are doing on Waiheke is part of worldwide resistance against war, destruction of the planet and the people, and where we're going in terms of how we live.
Lovely. Thank you, Carol. And regardless of how much of a conspiracy theorist you are, John Key seems to be on a mission with the National Party to sell New Zealand assets. So finding out more from Murray Horton tomorrow might be an incredibly useful thing. So that's 2 o'clock tomorrow, Surfdale Hall, the Rec Centre for Kids, which operates out of Surfdale Hall, will also be open. So I'm sure there'll be a place for kids to play on the playground if adults who have children want to come along too. Great. Okay, thanks so much, both of you.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, and the interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They're also available as a download from our website, www.waihekeradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Island, the shop with Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Island, Ocean View Road, Oniroa.